Good morning, diners and travelers. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. Welcome to our program, and we're going to have a little romp in Cleveland today.
Well, we're party people, as you probably know. You probably are too. And there's the one singular event. It's in Cleveland. You're going to hear a whole program about it today. So let's, without further ado, why don't we go first of all to a preview that we did several months ago.
A repeat of this
wonderful party called Five Star Sensation. And then you're going to hear from some of the wonderful chefs who contribute their time and energy to making sure this event's successful. So first up, we're talking to the organizer of the event, or at least the person who's the executive organizer of the event, and a chef who's coming to visit, talking about what he was going to do when he got there, which he did. And then some wonderful words from Wolfgang Puck, who's the driving force behind the success of the entire event.
Some listeners may know that Pittsburgh, from which On the Menu Radio broadcasts, has something of a rivalry with the lakeside city of Cleveland, just about 130 miles away. And it's very difficult for us in Pittsburgh to say great things come out of Cleveland. But believe me, every 2 years they do, with the world's most amazing party called Five Star Sensation. On the Menu was there 2 years ago at this wonderful event, and we're getting ready to go again, and we thought you absolutely must know about this and must make your plans if you have the chance to do that. So we have Laurie Vick, who is with the University Hospitals of Cleveland, which is beneficiary of the proceeds of this great event. Laurie, welcome to On the Menu. Give us a snapshot of this great event.
Oh, I'm happy to do so and really pleased to talk with you. And again, this year, Peter, it was delightful to have you visit, and we're so pleased that you're going to be coming back again this year. And the Five Star Sensation has been an event that's been going on biennially since 1987, and it truly is a culinary extravaganza, huge celebration of food and wine that benefits all the proceeds, as you mentioned, do benefit University Hospitals Ireland Cancer Center, and these funds go toward research and education. Since the event started, we've raised more than $10 million for research, and it stays right here at the Ireland Cancer Center. In 2007, $2 million in this one evening. And why do people come out for this? Because, as you said, it is the biggest and best party ever. Chef to the Stars Wolfgang Puck invites 70 of his closest friends in the chefing and vintner world to come to Cleveland under one huge, gigantic tent roof and cook up all of their specialties. And it truly is an event that you remember gastronomically and you feel good about because you're doing such great things for the world of cancer research.
Now, the most amazing thing that we found is that there's a very large crowd. You don't raise $2 million without having quite a lot of people come. And,
yes.
And yet there's plenty of room. You don't feel crushed. There's a place for every person to sit down. So after you strolled around the different restaurants in the strolling supper party format, you get your food and you have a wonderful place to sit down and enjoy with wine without haste and without hustle and bustle. So that's an amazing thing.
Absolutely. And as you said, there are 2,000 guests were there in 2007, and we are hoping to reach that number this year, and we are well on our way. The tent, we call it a tent, but it is over the size of a football field. So it's pretty huge and
yeah.
Can accommodate everyone comfortably.
Everybody looks good, too. It's black tie. Hmm?
Well, actually, we like to call it sensationally casual.
Oh, okay.
So the ladies have fun with the colors and...
Don't you remember last time?
I wore shorts.
Last year I was very trendy. I wore a trendy jacket and shorts.
You did, and I think people caught on, and we might see more of that this year.
There you go. In that case, I got a surprise. I'm going to do something different. But before we get too carried away, Laurie, let's make sure we get the information out in the interview about where people can find out more and get their tickets.
Absolutely. The event is Saturday, June 13th at 7 p.m., and it is in Cleveland, Ohio, actually in the suburb of Beechwood, on the site of our future University Hospitals Ahuja Medical Center, a new hospital that we are building. And for more information, folks can visit the five-star website, which is fivestarsensation.org. Simple to remember, and tickets are still available. They are priced at $300, $600, and $1,000. and you can get more information by visiting the website.
Great. And now we're going to put up a news item about it as well as soon as we get this show produced, which is the most important priority because it's going to air on Sunday, so we better make sure it's ready. Now, Laurie very kindly arranged for us to have on the line, and he's on the line with us now, Luciano Pellegrini from Valentino Restaurant in Las Vegas, who's one of Wolfgang Puck's 70 best buddies. Luciano, first of all, first of all, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
And briefly, Luciano, you started out at Valentino in Santa Monica. And then we met you a few years ago when you won a James Beard Award, and you told us the story of how you'd moved from there to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And you're there to this day, and the restaurant's also called Valentino.
Yes, it is the second Valentino we opened. Valentino in Santa Monica was founded about 36 years ago by Piero Selvaggio, who has been and still is one of the most prominent figures in Italian restaurants and Italian cuisine. He was sort of the pioneer of fine dining Italian, which, you know, to some sounds like an oxymoron.
Oh, no.
You know, Italian and fine dining. But it can be done, actually. And we moved to Las Vegas back in 1999. He offered me a position here as the executive chef and made me a partner. And 10 years after that, actually, this year is our 10th year anniversary. We are actually going to open another Valentino, a third store in Houston, Texas.
Really? Oh, yes. That's good news.
Okay, but you must be a pretty mean fine dining Italian chef to be made a partner in a new venture. So that's quite a
well. Thing. I've been with Piero for the better part of 24 years now. I moved here in 1985, and I've been with him ever since. And I do believe that when we moved to Las Vegas, he was told by some advisor that it was a very competitive market, and where chefs that were worth, you know, a little bit of their salt, so to speak, would have been snatched up in a heartbeat if you didn't keep them, you know, nice and tight. And I guess that kind of gave him the motivation to best me as a partner.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, 6 months after moving here, you know, somebody had proposed me a deal, restaurant and position as executive chef and possible ownership and whatnot. And I stayed loyal to Piero, and I guess, you know, I'm a person that values certain qualities over others and doesn't just goes with the flow or doesn't follow, you know, the easterly wind or stuff like that. And, you know, it's been a successful working relationship for the better part of 24 years. As with all relationship, you have, you know, highs and lows and good moments and not so good moments, but, you know, the important part is to just move forward.
Well, now, it's an Italian thing, right? The family and the and
that
the,
too. That the too. Perhaps I mean that too. I mean, you know, you got loyalty and you have kinship and and, you know, I guess everybody, you know, sticks to their own kind to a degree or another. Not that we like to think of it that way, but, you know, it sure looks that way.
Well, now, do you know any of the other chefs coming?
Do I know them?
Who's coming?
If you had to ask me, I couldn't tell you who they were, but I know them all. I actually have been going to Cleveland for the past 20 years.
Oh, wow.
I do believe this is my 10th five-star event, and it's always a great party, I would say.
Now, why do you go? Do you go because it's a great party, or do you go because it's a good cause? I mean, what
are
the reasons?
Well, absolutely. Since we are on the radio, I do go because it is a worthy cause and not because of the party. It definitely begins with friends asking you, you know, would you be part of something great? And of course you say absolutely, and then things grow on you. And I have to say that Cleveland has become a city that I appreciate, that I kind of enjoy going every 2 years.
Oh, great.
And they do put together a great, great event, and the people there are delightful and they're appreciative, and they always make us feel like rock stars.
Ah,
there you go. That's a nice. Now, one of the other things that's really great about this party is the kitchen facilities they have for you there, right? Because it's almost as good as being in your own kitchen.
sort of. I mean, they have a great base camp at Cleveland Stadium. You know, we use their facility there for prepping purposes, and you have a number of associated and affiliated restaurants that, you know, make their space available if anybody needs, you know, to work in a smaller space. And pretty much they rent anything that you might possibly think you need. And so everybody comes in and they prepare a dish or two, and they think, you know, what do I need? And basically they just prepare it there for you. So
now, what are you going to make?
Fryers and whatnot.
What will you bring or produce?
Well, what am I going to make? I usually present a whole menu from appetizers to middle course to entree and dessert. And one of the main player of five-star Carol Carr is fell in love with this dish that I make, a grilled pizza, about 15 years ago, and she just doesn't let me not make it.
Yeah, we interviewed Carol last year,
I got to the point where this year I submitted the menu and I did not put grilled pizza in it, and then I talked to her yesterday and I said, you know, I was playing a joke on you and you didn't even pick up on it. But of course, I will do grilled pizza just because she insists, and then I'm going to do a classic dish called Vitello Tonnato, and it's roasted veal loin, thinly sliced with a tuna caper anchovy sauce, which is delightful.
It's wonderful.
Then we're going to serve a pasta dish. We're going to do some spinach and ricotta cannelloni, so fresh pasta cut into squares. I'm going to do a spinach and ricotta stuffing. Wow. We're going to put some fresh tomato sauce over the top, bake them off, with parmesan cheese, simple and easy. And then we're going to do some grilled American Kobe beef braciolini. Braciolini are, again, thinly pounded pieces of beef, and then we flavor those with a little pancetta, a little sage, a little flavorings, and then we just roll them up and put them in skewers and then cook them on a grill.
I have the feeling that I'm going to spend the whole evening
parked
in front of your place.
And to finish off, we're going to offer all candied pineapple and vanilla panna cotta.
Wow.
So we got a little bit of the savory, we got a little bit of meat, and then, you know, if anybody's vegetarian, we'll give them a little pasta, so a little bit for everybody.
Oh, boy, that's only one, listeners, only one of the... And how many chefs are there?
How many am I bringing?
Now, how many chefs are invited?
Oh, I don't know. I think I heard, 70, Laurie?
And I can answer. There are 35 chefs
35
and 40
chefs.
Vintners.
Okay.
And I do have the list of the chefs, and I'll tell you what, when Luciano is explaining everything he's making, oh, my goodness, multiply that by 35.
And that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. But you asked before some of the other chefs who might be there, and I can rattle off a couple of them for you.
Please do, yes.
Top of my head, Ricky Estrelato from Nobu in New York is going to be there.
Oh, that's cool.
Sam Choi's Diamond Head restaurant from Honolulu is sending Joseph DeSimone. Let's see, we've got Gino Angelini from Angelini Osteria in Los Angeles, Andrew Kirshner from Wilshire Restaurant in Santa Monica, Carrie Heffernan from Southgate in New York, Gordon
right.
Hammersley from Hammersley's Bistro.
Yeah, he's a friend, yeah.
Boston, yeah, and Lydia Shire also coming in.
Oh, Lydia's good, yeah. Great.
And let's see, Frank Ostini from The Hitching Post, and on and on and on.
Oh, and
again, you know, your listeners can visit the website and get the full list of all of the chefs and the vintners who will be there.
And, you know, I mean, I guess I have to say that the one thing that's really amazing is the sheer generosity of all the chefs and the vintners as well.
Oh, it is incredible.
Yeah.
And when Luciano says we treat them like rock stars, it's because they are. It is incredible the amount of work that it takes to put this together and on their part, and coming in here and from out of town, and you know, the tremendous donation of time and of course their talents and the food they prepare, and it's just an extraordinary generosity. We couldn't be more grateful.
Well, On the Menu steers you wrong very rarely, listeners, as you know, and believe me, this is the best party we ever went to. We know it's going to be the same this year, so you'll be foolish if you're not there.
And I bought something new to wear.
There we go. She did indeed. And so Laurie and Luciano, thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to seeing you a week from Saturday in Cleveland.
Be my pleasure.
Okay,
bye.
Luciano.
We'll see you then.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Grazie mille.
Arrivederci.
Wolfgang Puck, you are the father of this event called Five Star Sensation, held every 2 years in Cleveland. Could you tell us a little bit, first of all, how it got started? Secondly, who it benefits, and thirdly, why is it such a success, besides, of course, the fact that you are now, as I said,
well,
the mayor.
Let me start with the last one. Okay. I think in Cleveland, the people love great food and great wine and have a great time. So this event is, even now with the economy in the downturn, is sold out, which
it's
is amazing. And what is really great, the people who spend the money here to get all the wonderful food, the money goes to University Hospital, to the Ireland Cancer Clinic, which, you know, how many people and friends we know who are have the sickness. So I think I'm really happy about that. Then the first question was, how did we start it? Well, we have a food and wine festival in Los Angeles. We started that in 1982. And Carol Kahn and her friend came out to our wine festival and said, this is such a great idea. We should do something like that in Cleveland. So after a few years, finally I said yes. We started the first year in downtown in the convention center. We almost smoked out the convention center. It was indoor. And then we went down to the flats. And now Carol is really in charge, and it's bigger and better than ever.
It's fabulous. I mean, absolutely. I don't know. There is something about it that makes it special. Now, of course, you do invite fabulous participants.
I think you have some of the best chefs from all over the country. I even have Vakia, who has a fabulous restaurant in Tokyo. He's here. I mean, people from from Tokyo come here to Cleveland to cook for all these people.
Do you have a restaurant in Tokyo?
Yeah, we have some restaurants in Tokyo, yeah.
I guess I wanted to, can you give like an overview of your restaurant empire? How many restaurants, how many types?
We have 17 fine dining restaurants from Maui to Atlantic City, really. And then in Japan, we have some cafes. We have 6 cafes in Tokyo, Nagoya, and Yokohama. And then we have a lot of expresses in the airports and freestanding bistros, which are like little small cafes
right. With
good food, healthy food at an affordable price.
Now, since 2 years ago, you opened another fine dining restaurant, didn't you? What was it what is it?
We actually opened 2 restaurants. We opened one called Cut in Las Vegas. We have one in Beverly Hills already. And then we just opened the Wolfgang Puck Bar and Grill in downtown Los Angeles, right next to the Staples Center and the Nokia Hall. So it's really a middle-priced restaurant, whereas Cut is like an upscale steakhouse. And our next venue going to be in Singapore. We're going to open Cut in Singapore.
Oh, wow. I don't know how you do it.
Well, I'm lucky. I have so many great people working with me.
Yeah.
Like even for today, to do all the prep. Matt and Sherry fixed everything. I came in really late last night, and they did a fabulous job.
Now, just to make everybody listening just sort of drool a little bit, what are you cooking and serving today? I saw some of that wonderful pizza.
Oh, yeah. We have two of our great pizzas, the smoked salmon pizza and one with Iberico ham, the Spanish ham, which is fantastic. Then we're having tempura soft shell crab. You have to taste
that.
It with a black bean vinaigrette. We also got from our friend Lee Jones, a farmer
next to
Cleveland
here,
some beautiful zucchini flour. So we're making some zucchini flour fritter with a little cherry tomato salad,
which
is delicious. And then we have some tortellini with sweet corn and summer truffles. A Shanghai lobster risotto with ginger, scallions, and green onions. And then we have a fabulous London broil. It's marinated with a little Szechuan spices. And Sherry, for dessert, is making a Kaiserschmarrn, which is like a souffle kind of pastry with a warm strawberry compote.
Imagine tackling that for 1,800 people.
Are you trying to upscale all the other chefs?
Well, you know what I do? I always try to do really great food so that way everybody who comes is making great food. You know, if we would just make pizzas, then the next one would just make hamburgers and the next one would just make, something simple. But I tell them, you know, in Cleveland, the people who know about food, we have to make something special. And I think it's good for the chefs because when they come to L.A., or to any city where they have their restaurants, they will go and visit them.
Well, he was saying, we just interviewed Mark Peel, who
he's
going. Campanella keeps going, too.
Ah, no. He's already one of the older restaurants. I can't believe it. You know, Spago is open 27 years. Chino is open 26 years. And I think Campanella is probably close to 20 years. It is amazing, you know, in this time, that restaurants who are open for so many years. You know, in LA, most of the older restaurants are all gone, like L'Orangerie and the Bistro and Chase, and yet Spago's.
They're gone, yeah. Spago's.
Still around, yeah. I think it says something about longevity. It's like being married with the same person for 30 years. It's much more difficult than being married to three people over 30 years.
Well, we're not going to get into that.
No.
Listen, you are so, just so wonderful and generous to do this. And I can't thank you enough on behalf of everybody.
Thank you. You know, it's really a pleasure, and I'm honored to come here and honored to help out, because I think this country has given me so much. I came here with not a penny in my pocket, and look where we are now. And I think I'm very proud so we are able to give something back.
You are wonderful.
Thank
I
you.
Really thank you so much.
Thank
well, if you followed all that, I guess we can now take a break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back. Please interact with us through our website. You can email us at any time on the menu at onthemenuradio.com or connect up with our blogspot onthemenuradio.blogspot.com.
Oh, yeah, but we're smart now, so all you need to do is push the right button on the homepage.
Right. I'm talking about people who aren't watching it. They've downloaded
podcast. All right.
And they've downloaded it and they're at the gym.
Okay, so you're
so they can grab their BlackBerry and they can Twitter and look up OTM Dish or Facebook, Ann Haig.
There we go. So
there's lots of ways of interacting.
Lots of ways to reach us, and of course we love to hear from you.
And now
back to exciting Cleveland and three of the outstanding chefs who were assembled serving this throng of 1,800 people, Mark Peel from Campanile in Los Angeles, Lydia Shire from Lochaber and other places in Boston, and Charles Fine, one of our favorite human beings on the planet from The Slanted Door and other places in San Francisco, all contributing their time and all talking about what it was that served us on this delicious evening.
Now, I have a new friend because I've never actually met Mark Peel from Campanile before. It's so nice to see you.
Oh, it's good to see you, too.
Yeah. Now, you have been to Five-Star Sensation since the very beginning, you said.
I have been to every single Five-Star Sensation, and I've seen it grow and prosper. I think it's taking over Cleveland now.
It's physically, terms of square acreage, I guess so.
Fortunately for the rest of the planet, it only happens every 2 years.
Now, Mark, I mean, you go back a long ways with Wolfgang, right?
Right. Well, I started with Wolfgang in 1975 at Ma Maison. I was 20 years old and he was 26.
Oh, wow.
And I think he's facing his 60th birthday now.
Uh-oh.
And that makes me, do the math quick, I'm 54.
So, but you were currently, is this your own restaurant,
yes.
Campanile?
Yes, and we're 20 years old now.
Campanile is
20 years old.
Mm-hmm. Well, you must be doing something right, as they say.
Well, I just can't get another job.
You're in what some people would consider a dining desert as well as a desert climate.
Yes. Yeah, right. We're right in the center, right in the middle of Hollywood.
No, I mean, dining in L.A. has picked up in the last couple of years, huh?
Oh, yeah, it has. It's always been a good place for restaurants.
See, everybody says Los Angeles or whatever they're called, don't eat.
Oh, yes, we do. Look at this. Look at this. I've got a gut right here. We eat very...
So what are you serving up tonight?
Oh, tonight what we're doing is we're doing a little sandwiches, like little... We've got some Kobe beef tri-tip, which is a wonderful cut of meat. It's very flavorful and tender at the same time. It's the traditional cut that people use for Santa Maria barbecue. But the Kobe beef is Kobe. Well, it's a tri-tip.
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 Is that?
It's what?
Sirloin
tip. No, it's not. No, it's. I forget where it comes. It's cut out of the chuck, but it's a very tender cut of meat. At the same time, it has great flavor. Usually with meat, it's an inverse ratio between tenderness and flavor. If it's very tender, like a tenderloin, there's no flavor. And if you think about something really tough, it's like a brisket. There's a ton of flavor.
Yeah.
So,
I was thinking the ratio of fat has something to do with it.
Oh, absolutely. But it's also how much the muscle works.
Well, that's true, too.
Yes.
I'm wondering if this is what Peter's mother calls
the salmon
cut.
It's a Kobe. It's a Kobe beef, so it's really well marbled. And then we're grilling it over charcoal. It's been marinated.
I saw it. It was so tidy.
A little olive oil and fresh thyme, salt and pepper. And then we're slicing it very, very thin, and it's going on a little soft roll that we brought from La Brea Bakery with Russian dressing and marinated onions.
Wow.
And then we're doing grilled mussels.
Yeah, you just gave me a sample of that.
From Maine.
I want to do that grilling thing.
Oh, it's great. We put them in a we do them right on the grill.
Yeah.
We put them in a perforated pan, and then we throw in all the mussels, black mussels, thinly sliced lemons, and a handful of fresh thyme. And you put it right on the grill, put a lid over the top of it, so it holds in the steam a little bit. And they grill, and they get this nice smoky, steamy aroma and flavor. And then we just squeeze a little bit of lemon over the top and toss them in butter.
Oh, wow. Now, is this representative of the food you get on the menu at the Campanile?
Yes, I think so. I mean, there's always a difference when you're doing a road show because you don't have quite the backup. So that sandwich is something I wouldn't do at night. I would definitely do that at dinner. And but the mussels, absolutely, that's a nighttime appetizer because they're wonderful. And we're also doing a little dessert. We're doing a granita, which is like a sorbet, but it's a kind of a rougher, coarser texture. We're doing a strawberry granita. Strawberries are perfect right now. This is peak of the season.
Right.
And so it's frozen with a little bit of Prosecco.
Prosecco, not bad, Italian,
a white sparkling wine.
Right.
A little on the sweet side with mint and just a touch of cracked pepper.
Oh, sounds heavenly. Now, back to Campanile. It's in Los Angeles. In what section?
We're in kind of the Mid-Wilshire, Hancock Park area.
Not
south
shabby.
Of Hollywood.
Yeah. Oh, south of okay.
Just a little south of Hollywood.
And your website you have?
Oh, yes. It's CampanileRestaurant.com.
Great. And so, listeners, I mean, I can tell you this man is very tidy also. I've never seen anything so pristine as your little packets wrapped around with the beef packets. And it was, I mean, it was a whole bunch of them, and you were in control of every single thing. It was just...
Right.
I'm really pleased to have met you, and I hope we cross paths again.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to see you. And I'm looking forward to having a great time tonight.
I hope you do. Are you going to the after party?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I'm not sure we'll see you there, but...
That guy walking down the street at 3 a.m., that's going to be me.
I see. Oh, Mark, you're too much. Thank you, dear,
so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Finally, On the Menu Radio has caught up with Lydia Shire. Welcome, Lydia. I'm so glad to see you.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about you. You are an old trooper. I mean, not that you're old, but you are a trooper at this event. How many you've been coming for years and years and years?
Oh, it's at least six, maybe seven times. I've only missed two, I believe.
Now, let's talk a little bit about, you've also, you're very experienced in the restaurant business. You have a long history of very successful restaurants. Let's talk, though, about your current ones. Could you tell
us
about them?
Well, I have Lock Ober, which is a 135-year-old restaurant. It's one of the most beautiful in Boston. It's a little classical and new wave, both. But the dining room, you would never imagine. It's so beautiful.
Oh, wow.
And I have two brand new restaurants. One is in York Beach, Maine, and it's called Blue Sky on York Beach, and I designed it myself. Lots of lobster.
Oh, okay. It's lobster.
Lots of lobster,
oh,
yes.
Oh, wow.
And my newest restaurant is Scampo.
Which you said is hot.
And that's a very hot restaurant right now. It's sizzling hot. And
what's
no
it like?
Recession there, you know.
Yeah, what's it like?
It's an Italian-ish menu. It's basically an Italian menu. We have a bread menu. We have pizza, a mozzarella bar.
Mozzarella bar.
Yeah, it's a very special restaurant.
We just had goat cheese mozzarella. It was wonderful. Goat mozzarella.
Wow, I haven't had that. You're one up on me.
Oh, it's really good.
Great.
Tell us about Lock Ober and what kind of food you serve. You said it was Alsatian and...
Well, Frank Lock was the one who bought the lobster dishes to Lock Ober, and right now our probably number one seller is lobster stew. It has lots
of
sherry in it.
Well, you were lucky because it was inexpensive this year, but the prices are going
up. I know. Yes, that's true. But we have great steak. One of the biggest steak restaurant owners in Boston said, Lydia makes the best steak au poivre in the whole city. So I'm very proud of that. But we have Wiener Schnitzel. You know, those are some classic dishes. Calf's liver, we're the only one in Boston really selling calf's liver.
Oh, that's one of Peter's favorites.
Yeah.
He always orders it on a menu.
Right. But then we have our new wave, you know, stuff. We're doing a bluefish.
What do you mean by new wave?
Well, I just mean they're not classical dishes. We're putting on the summer menu. We're going to have this beautiful yellow tomato bisque with some smoked yogurt. A little ball of that in the soup. So that's not classical, but it's what we want to do.
But you're classically trained.
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
So, what are you serving tonight at this
Tonight we're doing a pork chop, a Berkshire or a Corrobudo pork chop, bone-in, a very thin one, and I left all the fat on it, lots of fat on it. And, you know, I have
Peter's
a nice
clapping.
Spice rub on it, and we're doing it in panko crumbs. We're deep frying it. And we have a beautiful little mango salad with that, with some ginger juice and some pepperoncini, those kind of vinegar peppers that are nice on top of the pork chop. We're serving a lobster roll, and I made my own homemade little buns. They're delicious.
I'm going to taste that, yes.
And I have a brown sugar meringue for dessert.
Oh, wow.
With gold leaf on it.
Lydia, let's go eat.
I think we should.
You're expecting like 1,800 people tonight, so you have a long night ahead of you.
Well, good. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much
thank
for talking to us.
Thank you very much. Come to Boston, everyone.
Yes. Charlie Fan, I always say Charlie of the Slanted Door, but you have many more restaurants now than that, although I always think of you as that. I wanted to say, before we even talk about this discussion, your children are just gorgeous. How many do you have?
I have three.
And they're all working tonight.
They tag along with this trip, yeah.
Now, we haven't talked to you for a little bit. We've been fans of Slanted Door and Out the Door, is it?
Yes, we have an Out the Door. And last September, we opened at the Academy of Science, the brand new museum in San Francisco. And also in January, we opened a new Chinese concept called Heaven's Dog.
On what?
It's a new Chinese restaurant. It's called Heaven's Dog.
Heaven's Dog.
Yes.
I'll be done. Is it casual?
Yes.
Is it casual?
It's a small 75-seat restaurant with an emphasis on the bar. We're doing a lot of the vintage cocktail.
Oh, wow.
The handmade cocktail. So.
You're a chameleon. You keep changing. Your first restaurant, you moved Slanted Door. Describe the menus of Slanted Door and then Out.
Slanted Door was opened 14 years ago in a Mission District small neighborhood. We use seasonal ingredient, local ingredient. They're kind of eclectic Vietnamese food, a lot of street food for appetizer.
But really, really high quality.
Yes, we our signature is really about having connection to these small farms that we buy directly, from the sugar snap peas to the Berkshire pork from Iowa that we're getting direct. So that's really our, and also we're bringing a little piece of Vietnam to San Francisco. So a lot of street, like the dumpling I'm serving today is a monkey.
Yeah, I'm just about to eat this pork belly. It looks wonderful.
Yes.
And then you moved on. That was, I would say, fine dining.
Right. And we opened up a more casual Out the Door in a mall setting in the Westfield Shopping Center. We feel people need to eat well even when they're shopping. So that's a little bit more like a sister restaurant to Slanted Door.
Now you have another door concept. What is that?
It's Out the Door, yeah.
Oh, that yeah. I thought there was a third one.
No, the third one is Heaven's Dog. So.
Oh, so that's I had that really messed up. Well, it's good to know then that you're moving on to beyond the door.
Yes.
Now, you're closing the door.
That's a dog in the name of the restaurant?
Yeah, Heaven's Dog. It's a mythical
it's
animal.
It's not a Korean restaurant.
No, it's a Chinese restaurant.
you got the note then.
Yeah. Now, Charlie, I understand this is your first time cooking at this grand event in Cleveland. I'd like your first time impression of this thing that raises $2 million for cancer research in one night.
I kind of passed through the Midwest. It's really first time spending kind of significant time here. It's a beautiful city. I'm a student of architecture, so seeing these grand old buildings, it's pretty amazing. And Wolfgang has sort of talked me into coming out and helping out.
He does a fabulous job.
So it's great because can you know be part of this group, and it's a stellar group. So it's an honor to be here. So.
So you think you'll come back in 2 years' time?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, every 2 years, and then everybody longs for everybody to be back again. It's a big event in Cleveland.
Right.
And listeners, when you're in San Francisco, you look for Charlie's restaurants because you just won't even believe what you're going to get. They're so spectacular, so different, so above the norm.
Thank you.
Yeah. Charlie, did you mention, besides the pork belly, what else you're serving tonight?
We're serving a vegetarian mung bean dumpling, with little mung bean. And it's originally, I learned this in a market in central part of Vietnam in Hue. We always like to have a vegetarian option when I do these events. So for those who don't eat pork belly.
Yes, all right. that separates the boys from the vegetarians, doesn't it? And did you explain what there was something you told me that I thought was interesting, and now I can't remember what it was. You're going to do specialty cocktails, or is that?
Yes, well, Heaven's Dog is following this recipe book from Charles Baker. It's from the 20s. These are drinks that this gentleman collected during Prohibition. So
really?
And from the glassware to the ice, there are four different kind of ice we're using, from hand-carved to, you know, one-inch cube. So, and we're making some of a lot of the syrup and the parts to make these cocktails.
Oh, this is really au courant, right up to the minute on trend, huh?
Yes. And really... our bar staff, when they joined us 4 or 5 years ago, when we first moved downtown to the Ferry Building, at that time we don't know how to make cocktail, but I basically told them, like, you got to use the same philosophy how we do our food. You know, get back to the basic, do classically made thing, and use the best ingredient, and bring a little story or history to the dish or to the drink. So that's how they come about.
Well, everything you touch is golden, and thank you for talking to us again.
Great, thank you for having me.
Good to see you. Yeah, kiss those gorgeous kids of yours.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie. And now it's time to take another break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back.
Here we are again.
Yeah, no, we were not done.
What's next?
We were not done eating and drinking either. So in our next threesome is Sean McLean.
Oh,
one
wow.
One of Ann's favorite people from, what's the place that you like in Chicago? Well, you like all three of them, I guess.
Yeah, all of them.
And he talks about those, but also why he's at the event. Farmer Lee Jones, an Ohio citizen himself, probably about 100 miles from Cleveland, talking about all kinds of philosophical things as well, because he's a bit of a philosopher as well as a bit of a comedian.
Philosopher farmer.
And then finally, Kerry Heffernan, who was a chef that we had not met before, but who's been at the event several times and is the chef at a wonderful restaurant called Southgate in the Essex Hotel in New York City. So that threesome ends our program for the day, and as we always say, eat your heart out.
This, by the way, is one of our most favorite chefs, Sean McLean. Thank you so much for talking to us. We love you. You know that.
Out of this group, that's an exceptional compliment. So.
Well, now, I ate at Spring last time I was in Chicago, and you've moved on. You now have
three restaurants. Yeah, we opened Green Zebra.
Amazing.
Small plates, vegetarian, as you know, in a town of meat and potato is...
It's amazing.
Extraordinarily reviewed and received, and I couldn't be more happy with that.
And then
we opened Custom House.
Meat.
Primarily meat. Yeah, we wanted to kind of stay away from the steakhouse traditional moniker, but definitely focus on
Chicago
meats, which is kind of the antithesis of Spring, which is more kind of light and seafood Asian basis is more Mediterranean meats and more European style. But we do interesting things with quails and squabs and veal breast and veal cheeks, pork cheeks, so not your traditional steakhouse menu.
Well, won so many awards. Have you lost count?
Never lost count. And again, I attribute it to a fantastic staff and supportive family. So very, very fortunate.
And you're opening in Vegas? That's a big
challenge
right now.
I know. Very big challenge. The project's been in the works. City Center is the name of the complex, Aria, the casino, and Sage will be the name of the restaurant. And we are due to open December 16th of 09.
Oh, well, hopefully the climate, the economic climate will have improved by
then. I have some people on the ground out there, and there's a little swell. You know, things are, you know, slowly moving in the right direction. I hope they've seen kind of the bottom of the curve.
Let's pray, all
you know,
of us.
Yeah, I think everybody, you know, obviously is very concerned, and Vegas always had that perception of perhaps an extravagance or something that wasn't needed in your everyday life. But
right. In
reality, it's a terrific vacation spot and a place to relax, and the food is amazing. And I hope, obviously, I have a lot to prove out there with all the great names.
Now, how many times before have you been to this event? Is this not your first?
This is actually my third time.
Okay.
Unfortunately, last time I had a conflict, but we were represented from the restaurants, and I had one of my
It's
great
a really chefs. Great event.
Oh, it's definitely one of the best. I was really excited. I was very sad to miss the last time. And obviously my chefs had a great time being here.
Yeah, I mean, what is it that makes it special? It is special, isn't it?
It is. I mean, obviously, you know, it is the top tier of talent around the country, and, you know, international as well. And obviously anything that Wolfgang puts his name to is
top tier.
Has a status about it. And, you know, to be invited by him is obviously a feather
an
in everybody's
honor,
cap.
Indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
well, we look
and everybody's
forward
just nice
to
and has
sampling.
Fun too.
Tell us what you're cooking tonight.
Three things tonight. We have on the cold side, we're doing a hamachi tartare. We have some fresh ground wasabi. Just lightly seasoned with soy, a little creme fraiche, just gives a little body. And then on the hot side, we're doing a prawn soup, which is kind of a Thai style with coconut and curry, prawn dumplings. And then a little sweet to take away is a dark chocolate bar with dried cherries and pistachios.
Oh,
so
that sounds really hard to
say. A little meal in itself right at the table. But I think there's 30 tables here, so it's going to be a challenge for everybody to get around.
1,800 and eat, people. Yeah.
Yeah. So. There's got to be a good 150 dishes here to try, so I hope people are up for the challenge.
Well, that's why we just got you before this great rush here.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I promised you 6 minutes, and how did I do?
I think you're right on time.
Thank you so much, Sean.
My pleasure. Great to be here. Nice to see you again.
Bye.
Okay.
Farmer Jones is actually Lee Jones with his trademark coveralls and red bow tie. Lee, you were really well established even when I met you, which was probably 8 years ago, but now you're all over the world. I mean, your chefs are taking your first of all, tell us what you do.
Well, you know, I wouldn't want you to make it out to be like we're a huge farm. I mean, we're a small family farm growing sustainably grown vegetables, and we feel so honored and privileged to be a small part of the culinary world. The chefs have really helped educate society about well-grown vegetables, about healthy vegetables, and I think that evidence is really in the fact that we're seeing such a renaissance in farmers' markets. But we grow and market sustainably grown vegetables for the top chefs throughout the country. But we're not just the top chefs. It's really just about a chef that wants really well-grown, food-safe, healthy vegetables, and we ship direct from our farm to their restaurant.
Actually have these chefs, they specify what they want. I mean, really particular things, huh?
Well, gosh, these chefs are under so much pressure to be able to perform at such a high level. And I would expect that they would want very specific things. And it's up to us, if we have the privilege of being a part of their team, to be able to listen and to be able to try and adhere to those specifications. We've actually felt like within the produce industry that the offerings that were available were kind of like Henry Ford's comment of you can have any color of car you want as long as it's black.
Black, right.
We actually have a sizing chart now. Bok choy, for example, you could get at 8 different stages of growth.
Yeah, you told me about that. I mean, it's just amazing. How many acres do you have?
You know, we're still the same small farm that we were 10 years ago. We only have 100 acres in production, 100 sitting fallow, which is almost an unheard of, I guess, process today. And then another 100 acres growing very high quality components for compost. We actually do lab analysis on the soil. Then based on the deficiencies, we plant crop specific for the compost.
Now you grew up in this though. I mean, your father did this, no?
Right. We actually, when I was 19 years old, stood and watched 25 years of my parents' work be sold at a sheriff's sale. You may be too young to remember, but back in the late 70s, early 80s, interest rates hit 21%. And my folks got wrapped up in 21% interest rates and a hailstorm that devastated the crops. And we literally crawled away from the farm. We were farming commercially, and we were even farming chemically. But, you know, losing the farm allowed us to kind of rethink what we were doing. And now my dad has a saying that the only thing we're trying to do is get as good as the growers were 100 years ago. And if you think about it, it was pre-chemical, pre-synthetic. So it allowed us a kind of an opportunity to rethink. And now we farm sustainably rather than chemically. And I think it's allowed us a whole different avenue to be able to go as a small family farm.
When you have facilities where you actually invite chefs to come in and stay there, right?
We do. It's such a learning opportunity. You know, if the chef is one and the farmer is one, I guess the synergy it created is 1 + 1 = 6. And the idea is that we have a facility called the Culinary Vegetable Institute, and chefs can come and stay right on site. We have an executive chef suite. In fact, you folks need to come and participate. There's a jacuzzi and a fireplace and a kitchenette, and there's quarters there for additional staff, but they can come and play with some of our product. We always have product in research and development.
So they actually have immediate access to it and can play around with it in the kitchen there.
Exactly. We call it the chef's garden for a reason. They play with the product out of experimental, and if they think that it's something sexy enough or inviting enough to go on a plate, then we'll advance the production.
I mean, it's a brilliant concept. The other one that I love is your schoolyard. Well, it's not called that. What's it called?
It's called Veggie U. It's a not-for-profit division of the farm. And, you know, my dad says, what in the world do we need a 501c3 not-for-profit? We've had a not-for-profit all these years. And without. But it's actually, we've had the help of about 35 school teachers, doctors, nutritionists, but hundreds of chefs have helped us. It's a curriculum that we have science, math, and health in, but it goes into fourth grade schools all over the country. It empowers children to know that they have choices in food. They get seeds, they get soil, they get compost, they get a worm farm, they get a grow light and a curriculum. And it dovetails in with the state required mandates for No Child Left Behind. And it's just really a neat program that's hands-on. We're in 2,000 schools. Our goal is to be in every fourth-grade school in the country, 93,000 fourth-grade schools. So we've got a big goal, and we've got a ways to go. But
Hold on a second. Now, Lee, we met Lee, of course, as you can hear in the background, five-star sensations, wonderful music is going on. So is there any particular thing you're doing here tonight?
Well, absolutely. Of course, Wolfgang Puck is a featured chef here for many years and has done an enormous amount to raise revenue for the cancer fund here with Five Star Sensation. And we've done business with Wolfgang for over 15 years, and we ship product to his restaurants all over the world.
Shipping to Asia, no less.
Right. And for us, it's really about a direct relationship between the producer and the user. But Wolfgang has invited us to be here tonight as part of his display. He wanted a farm market theme. And, golly, we brought an old walk-behind plow that my grandfather used.
Oh, I missed that. Where's that?
And that's down on the end where Sherry Yard is in the pastry.
Okay.
And a wheelbarrow that I have personally used to haul vegetables out of the field. And we brought a tent in, and we brought half a truckload of vegetables in. And have got those on display, and we're actually going to give those away tonight. At the end of the night, we've got some bags along.
You're kidding. No. You're a brilliant marketer, too, I might say. I mean, every place I go, there you are.
We don't know anything about marketing. You know, we're just really passionate about being able to stay in agriculture. We love being on the farm, and we feel so privileged that folks allow us that chance to be able to stay and work with the earth and be tenants of the land.
Now, what is probably the most bizarre request you've ever had from a chef?
Oh, boy. Well, I know that one night we had about 20 degrees outside, and Charlie Trotter was in California, and somehow someone was going to supply them with purple Brussels sprouts, and they got out there, and they couldn't cover the order, and they called us and wondered if we could cover them. Well, I ended up going on a four-wheeler out into a snow-covered field about 3 foot of snow and harvesting the Brussels sprouts and bringing them back in and running them up and getting them on a FedEx airplane in Cleveland. And we got them there by 8 a.m. the next morning. And, you know, some people would say, golly, why would you go to all that trouble? But, wait, you know, we just feel so privileged to get to work with these chefs, and they allow us that chance to be part of their team. They say, jump, we want to know how high.
See, I mean, this is what I got from you through all of this. We've known each other for so long. I trust you, and I trust what you do.
Thank you.
And how does anybody get in touch with you who wants to?
Well, we do have an 800 number, 1-800-289-4644. You can become my friend on Facebook, Farmer Lee Jones. We have...
I'm going to do that.
You do that. We would be delighted. We do updates. We'll have some updates from tonight of the Wolfgang Puck five-star sensation event.
Okay.
And whatever we're doing, wherever we're going, we've got something posted.
You're also on Twitter?
On Twitter, yeah, kind of.
And you have actually a stale old basic website.
Yeah, we do, the Chef's Garden. And, of course, veggieu.org.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, I guess you have all those bases covered.
Oh, I don't know. You know, we just trying to communicate our message of sustainable agriculture, and we're really just trying to grow product in a way that it can create a health and wellness for our society.
Do you think it's turning around for farmers to be able to survive?
I do. You know, the problem in the country was when there was a disconnect. I can remember in our community alone, 6 family-owned grocery stores that couldn't compete because of the chain grocery stores. Well, the same thing happened with small family farms. We have 330 vegetable growers in our county alone because of the microclimate there in 1930. Today there are 6. But I believe that the society is demanding, and I think chefs have helped educate us that there is a better choice out there. And I think it's about the reconnection. I would encourage everyone to go back to those farmers markets and to buy direct from a producer wherever they can and look them in the eye and be able to let that producer know what's important to them. And I think that's really what this is about, is a reconnection. You know, the pendulum swung too far one way. We saw our mothers, or our grandmothers, I should say, spend a whole lot of time in the kitchen. And our moms said, hey, no way am I spending all day in the kitchen. And, you know, the whole convenience factor of microwaves and instant mixes and all of the fast foods, it swung the pendulum too far the other way. Well, now I think it's up to our generation to be able to say, wait a minute, we need to break bread together. We need to eat at home more. Certainly we want to encourage folks to eat out at restaurants, but I think that eating those meals at home together as a family are important. Just as important as going out and the socialization. We don't want to do anything to discourage anybody from going out to eat. That's not the point at all. No. But
well, I'll say, after all the work that you put in that a jacuzzi after farming all day is a real good thing. Lee, you keep going. You're doing a great job, and
well,
we love you.
It's
thank
an
you.
Honor to be here and do this interview with you tonight. Thank you very much.
Bye. Well, on the menu has yet another new friend, Carrie Heffernan, is
Heffernan,
it
that's right, yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, you have a wonderfully interesting background, but you are here at this event for the fifth time?
That's right, the fifth time.
So there must be something really special about it.
Well, it's special, but the people of Cleveland are special to me. They've been so welcoming and so absolutely wonderful.
Aren't they, though, huh?
And so excited to have us. And the fact that it's every 2 years kind of makes it even more special. The other more perhaps compelling reason is Carol Carr and Wolfgang Puck.
Yeah.
You know, who are so committed to this cause and so committed to bringing great chefs and taking excellent care of them.
Now, tell us a little bit about what you're cooking today.
We have 3 things. We have a ragu of lobster with saffron, sherry, and mussels.
That's what I'm
which you're having
now,
right now.
Right?
Yeah. We have a tiny little tart flambé, sort of Alsatian specialty. And we have a pot de crème, a chocolate pot de crème that has a sort of a twist on it. There's a bay leaf chantilly. So we take fresh bay leaves, infuse it into cream, whip it with a tiny bit of sugar, and it's this wonderful sort of aromatic, subtle undertone to this rich chocolate decadent dessert.
I'm so happy that people finally understood about this seasoning, the spicing thing with savory spices and sweets. I've longed for that my whole entire life because I don't have a sweet tooth.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I first met Peter, which was 37 years ago, I said, well, I wish people made ice cream in the flavors I like eggplant.
Bacon, basil.
Bacon, basil. Anyhow, tell us about your restaurant, which I have to admit I have not been to yet, but expect I will come to and visit because you say it's absolutely a stunner. It's called Southgate.
It's called Southgate. It's in the Essex House Hotel in New York on Central Park South.
Which we've stayed at.
Oh,
but not
great.
For a long time, yeah.
Well, it's recently been a $90 million renovation of the whole hotel, which includes this Tony Chi design of
which
this restaurant.
Top restaurant designer in every conceivable way, including beauty, smarts, and price.
Well, again, I wasn't involved in necessarily the selection of Mr. Chi, but I think the results I'm very lucky to be able to work in. And it's this very sophisticated modern interpretation of something that is elegant yet accessible. There's no tablecloths, but there are leather tabletops. So there's a sense of something special. Yet if you're there for lunch or dinner, you're a hotel guest coming in on a Sunday night on a trip, it's very accessible. There's no sense that there is the wrong time to be there.
What kind of cuisine do you...
We do something, you know, like many modern American interpretation. To me, that's really about what happens in New York. New York is the ultimate, for me anyway, marketplace. There's a marketplace of what we have to deal with in terms of products, and there's a market, as it were, of clients. And they generally demand and look for a certain kind of sophistication, yet accessibility. I think one eats differently in New York than does Tokyo or Paris or London or many other cities, and I think that, you know, that has evolved into its own style of food.
So, I mean, like, what's your special thing? Do you have any signatures?
Beyond the dish that you're sampling right here is
we do a
flan of spring peas right now with morels, prosciutto, and chervil. And
you're breaking my heart. I'm not
Well, I did that dish here three years ago, so I couldn't bring it back.
I see. All right. And what else should listeners know about the restaurant?
Well, again, it has this amazing view of Central Park. It's got a gorgeous bar. There's a great bar menu that's a bit more casual. There's some incredible lunch dishes. We do this dish you just had in a larger version, so it's a whole lobster with mussels, saffron, sherry, and a touch of fennel and peppers. There's a duck dish that we're currently doing that's cure and lightly smoke the ducks in-house, and then sear it and render the fat and create this wonderful magret with just this sort of delicate smoke. Duck could be a steak that was melded into bacon. This would be it. So imagine all those things on one plate.
Now, are you a New Yorker?
Yes. Well, it's in the past 35 years.
But you were born?
Born in Pennsylvania.
Where?
A place called Westchester outside Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. We lived in Philadelphia for a while, yeah.
I was moved when I was 2 and grew up in Connecticut. So I was about 14 when I started working in New York.
And you worked for all the Danny Myers?
I worked at 11 Madison Park for 7 years, sort of 8. And
you opened
through.
It, I hear.
Oh, yeah. I was the opening partner, yeah.
This is something to put on your resume. It's a great reference.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So anyhow, I'm so glad we finally met you.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I can hardly wait to see this restaurant.
You have to come see it soon.
Okay, I will. Maybe in 2 weeks. I'll see you then. Maybe.
You bet. Look forward to it.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
So all in all, it was quite an event, and the next one will be 2 years from now.
It gives us 2 years to recover.
2 years to recover, and we'll be sure to let you know all about it then so that you can have the opportunity to go and enjoy the visit for yourself. And once again, let's say on the air, congratulations to all these wonderful chefs for the generosity, for the time and effort that they give to this great event, to Wolfgang Puck, to Carol Carr, who were the geniuses behind the entire thing, and... we'd like to have an event like this in Pittsburgh, wouldn't we?
I don't know.
You might like to have one in your neighborhood.
I'm sure we probably have one.
And
like that.
In the meantime, we'll see you again, same time, same place next week.
Bye-bye.